If you want, if you want to call me Sai Sai, it has to be out of respect, not disrespect. Okay, because there have been some people calling me Sai Sai with, I believe, intentions of disrespect.
Oh, who did that?
Maybe you two back there. So just make sure you call me Sai Sai, but it's respectfully. All right.
How do you make it respectful?
You just say respectfully after. Call me Sai Sai and then say respectfully.
So we can't wait.
I'm not taking any questions.
Because
okay, why don't you?
So like, if I come up to you and say Sai Sai, that's rude. But if I say Sai Sai out of disrespect, out of with respect.
With respect.
With respect.
Yes. Yes. But you see, you had a hard time there because you were trying to be honest. So what came out honestly first with a lot of disrespect, and then you corrected yourself with respect. Okay. You know what? Let me pray before we dive into Luke. Let me pray. God, we thank you for tonight. Would you just still our hearts in the midst of the busyness of our lives, in the midst of the chaos of our lives? Would you still our hearts, and would you allow us to hear you speaking to us? Would we feel and know that you are present and with us, even as you challenge us with your words today? Amen. All right, we're in Luke. We have, I think, eight more weeks in Luke, including today. No, nine more weeks, including today. And we've been going through Luke, and we're in a section now where Jesus is teaching, okay? In Matthew, Jesus goes up on a mountain and he teaches. And in Luke, Jesus comes down a mountain, and there's this large flat plain. And Jesus is teaching on this large flat plain to not just his 12 apostles, but to many of his disciples. Many people have come to Jesus to be healed, to see his power displayed, and Jesus starts teaching on this plane to all these people. Does anyone remember what Jesus was taught last week? Who was here last week? Did anyone remember? It was a big challenge, and we were like, is he serious about that? Yeah.
Defending self.
Okay, kind of, yeah.
Basically, we're talking about how if someone slaps your right cheek, give them the other cheek.
Yeah, yeah. If someone slaps you, let them slap you again. Right? Yes. Okay. But does anyone remember? Yes, Devin.
Love your enemies.
There it is. Jesus gives us this challenge, and he says some kind of maybe absurd things. Like if someone steals from you, don't get it back, but actually give them some more. Right? There's things like that. And it was all in the context of loving your enemies. And we're like, is Jesus serious? He's saying some pretty challenging stuff. So this week we're going to Jesus in a sermon on the plain, not on the mount, but on the plain. And he's opened up with a lot of provocative words in the beginning. And now, I think Jesus is speaking to his disciples, speaking to not just his disciples, but everyone who's come to listen to him. And I think he's asking them to reflect on their lives. I think as we listen today, as you guys listen today, I think Jesus is asking you to think about your life, to reflect on your life in some specific ways. So let me read Luke 6, 37 through 42. Here we go. Jesus is talking, and he says this: "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can the blind guide the blind? Won't they both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the splinter that is in your eye,' when you yourself don't see the beam of wood in your eye? Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the splinter in your brother's eye." Let me pray again. God, still our hearts as you speak to us these words that cause us to reflect on our lives, cause us to think about how we might judge or condemn others, how we might not forgive or give freely to others. God, would you help us to reflect on our lives, and don't lead us to despair because of the ways that we fail, but would it lead us to humility and hope because we have a God who holds us in the midst of our failure, in the midst of the beams of wood that are in our eyes. You hold us, God. We thank you. Amen. All right. Before Cass and I even started dating, We went to school in Arizona, and I lived in kind of an apartment that was on a second story, and I had a balcony. And Cass comes skating up on her, does anyone know what a penny, a longboard basically? She comes skating up on her longboard, a penny board, you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a plastic longboard essentially. And she gets off her longboard, and I'm like sitting on my balcony, and she starts talking to me from the street up to the balcony. And she's like kicking her feet a little bit, and she's like, I just want, and this was before like we even like kind of like, we weren't like, I have a crush on you. It was like, it was, so we're just like friends at this point. And she was like, do you maybe, want to come to dinner? My dad's going to be in town. Like, do you want to come to dinner for my sister's birthday and meet my dad? She's like being awkward, not making eye contact. And I was like, okay, that's kind of intimidating, you know, because like, you know, we're just friends right now, but you're like asking me to meet your dad. It's kind of weird, kind of scary. And so I agreed to go to dinner because I can't say no, you know? And so I go to dinner and I'm very self-conscious. I remember sitting there at dinner and it was like me, Cass's older sister, her older sister's friend, and her dad. It was the first time I met your sister or your dad. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like being quiet and smiling. You know, I was really self-conscious about like what I was doing. You know, I was like eating. You guys ever like had a dinner where you're pretty self-conscious, so you don't even want to eat weird? You're like just trying to let you take a bite quickly. You're like, I don't know how I look like when I'm like eating. Yeah, I was really self-conscious at this point. I was so self-conscious, okay? What's funny though, okay, is like a lot of times you might be like overthinking something, or you might be like thinking too much, like, oh, how does this look? Or like, how does this come off when I do this thing? And a friend might give you advice and they might be like, well, like, don't overthink it. Don't be self-conscious. Don't be self-conscious about it, right? Actually, today, Cammie gave me, were you giving me some advice, or Danny or something? And you're like, don't be self-conscious. And I was like, Cammie, we're going to be talking about this tonight. The thing is, in this passage, I think Jesus is actually asking us to be a little self-conscious. I think Jesus there's definitely space for not being self-conscious. That's definitely a really good thing, because I think if you tend to overthink, sometimes we just need to let go and be like, whatever happened, you know, this is me and I got to stop overthinking. But sometimes there's a place and time to be self-conscious, to actually reflect on our lives, to think about who we are and what we do and why we do it. And I think Jesus is asking us to be self-conscious. But what is Jesus asking us to be self-conscious about? Okay. Jesus opens this passage in the first two verses, and this is what he says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So he opens up with these four things. Do not judge, do not condemn. You should forgive, and you should give. And I think as he's saying these things, I think Jesus is kind of putting these questions in our mind. I know it came to my mind when I was reading this first. How often do I judge others? I started thinking about my own life as Jesus talks about this. How often do I judge others? Jesus says, "Do not judge," and it made me think like, wow, like I judge others a good amount. Maybe just silently, right? But maybe someone walks by or someone says something, and it might not be a big judgment, but it might be like, wow, I can't believe they said that, you know? And I condemn others. I make up my mind about others before even getting to know them. And as Jesus says, do not condemn. You know, I think about, if I reflect on my life, I can think about the times that I've condemned others. Condemn, does anyone know kind of what condemn means? What did you say? Punish? Yeah. Yeah.
Put in jail.
Put in jail? Yeah. Yeah, I think a big part of it, like when we condemn someone else, we don't really have the power to put them in jail. I guess it can be kind of a form of punishment, but I think a big part of condemning someone is kind of making up the future for them, like you deciding what their future is going to be in a sense. So like if I was to condemn someone, I might make up in a friendship or relationship, I might just make up my mind about them and be like, you know, this is who you are, this is who you're always going to be. And so they're in a sense condemned in my mind. And I think that that's because we don't really condemn others, and none of us are like judges or I don't think so. We don't have the power to send people to jail. But I think part of it is making up your mind about someone or something before even giving them a chance to change or be different or get to know them. And I was thinking about all the times that I have condemned others in my lives. And then Jesus says, forgive. And I think about all the times that I don't really forgive. That I might say that I forgive, but that I actually hold on to grudges. And then Jesus says, give freely. And I think about the times in my life where I'm not very generous. I'm not really one to give. So as Jesus says these things, I think it makes me self-conscious in a sense, because it reminds me of the times and the ways that I fail to actually do these things that Jesus is asking me to do. And I bet if we really listen to these words, if you really listen to these words, they might make you think about your own life. How much do you judge, or how much do you condemn others? How easy is it for you to forgive? Do you forgive easily and often? Do you give much of what you have, not just your money, but your time and energy? Do you give that to others? These words of Jesus in this passage, I think, make us self-conscious. But so often, a lot of times we're really good at judging others for what they do, right? We're really good at judging or condemning others. We hold forgiveness and we're not really generous. And Jesus knows this about us. Okay, so then he shares this in verses 41 through 42. He says, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Has anyone ever heard these verses before? Yeah, they're kind of popular sayings of Jesus. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out your splinter that is in your eye, when you yourself don't see the beam of wood in your own eye? Jesus knows that we're quick to judge others. He points us out right here that we're prone to look at others when things are clearly not all the way right with us. We're prone to look at others and be like, well, you know, that person kind of judges a lot, or that person condemns or doesn't forgive or isn't generous. I think Jesus knows that about us. We can clearly see the fault in others and other people and those around us, but we don't give any attention to our flaws and our faults, to the beam. Jesus uses this imagery, this metaphor, to our faults in our lives. We don't pay attention to those. And Jesus says we are in no place to speak into others' lives when we're not even self-conscious about our own faults, our own sin, the ways that we fail to love Jesus and love others. And Jesus says this in verses 39 and 40. He begins his parable and he says, can the blind guide the blind? Won't they both fall into the pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Jesus says the blind can't lead the blind. You're in no place to lead another or to make judgments about another or to even care for another in some sense. If you're not paying attention, if you're not self-conscious about the ways that you fail, that we fail. Jesus, I think, is giving a call to his disciples. And if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, you would say that you're a follower of Jesus. I think Jesus is speaking to you and for you. Jesus is calling his disciples to spend less time pointing out the faults in other people and those around us, and more time being self-conscious, conscious about ourselves, asking questions of ourselves, about ourselves, about who we are, what we do, why we do it. But how do we let self-consciousness not lead us to despair? How do we let it lead us to humility instead, right? If we're really self-conscious and we think about our lives, sometimes it can be, we're like, oh, I'm not good enough at this. Some of us are really good at this, like thinking, I'm not good enough at this. I know I'm not good enough at this. I know I failed in this way. I know I failed in this way. And it can be sad. It can lead us to despair. But I don't think Jesus wants us to be sad and in despair of all the ways that we failed. But I think Jesus is calling us to be self-conscious because he wants it to lead us to humility. Not despair, but humility. And to do this, I think we need to cling to something much bigger than ourselves. Right, if we're self-conscious, we know that we fail. We know that we're not enough. And so we need something bigger than ourselves to cling to hold to. And I think this person is Jesus. I think this person who we can cling to is Jesus. To be actually self-conscious, it takes a lot of courage because you have to actually face yourself. And a lot of times what's underneath, we don't feel awesome underneath all of who we are and all that we portray. And so it takes courage to be self-conscious, to actually reflect on who we are. And we can have courage to be self-conscious, to really search ourselves, to reflect on who we are, our faults and all our sin. We can have the courage to do this when we believe that these things don't define us, that our sin or our faults or our failures don't define us, but our identity, your identity, is first and foremost in being a child of God. That's where your identity is. And if you believe that, if you know that, if you keep repeating, just keep repeating that to yourself, I am who I am. I am a child of God. You can have the courage to actually be self-conscious and face the things that maybe aren't so beautiful about you or your life. And that will lead you to not despair, but humility, because first and foremost, you are a child of God. And I know that it can be scary to be honest about who we are, right? How often we judge others or condemn others, even silently, even just in our heads. How much we hold grudges and seek revenge rather than forgiveness. How often we don't give of our time and energy and our resources, but we withhold those things in selfishness. Deep down, even though we might not portray them, but we all have faults. We're all sinful. And we all fail to love God and love those around us like we should. But we don't need to hide these things because we are children of God. You can face yourself. You can face yourself with courage because you first and foremost belong to God, who loves you so, so deeply, who loves you so, so much. You can face yourself because you belong to a God who loves you so, so deeply. So much so that he doesn't judge or condemn you. So much so that he actually forgives you and even gives his life for you and to you. And this life that God gives to us in forgiveness and in love and kindness, it actually brings light to areas of our lives that are maybe kept in darkness. And it brings renewal and restoration and even refreshment. So as we just consider Jesus' words today, think about this. This is, I think, Jesus' challenge for us. This is my challenge for us, but I think something that Jesus is encouraging us to do. Be self-conscious. Reflect on your life. Think about your life. And you can do this. You can do this honestly because you have the giver of life ready to meet you in the midst of every fault and secret and sin. You have a God who's ready to meet you, not with judgment or condemnation, but with forgiveness and love, giving his life for you and to you. Let me pray. And then I'm going to have a few questions on the screen that we can just reflect on. You can just reflect on silently and by yourself for 5 minutes, and then I'll pray again. But let me pray. God, it's not an easy thing to think and reflect on our lives all the time, because our lives aren't perfect and they're not all the way put together, but there's a lot of brokenness and chaos. There's things that we don't even really realize about ourselves. But God, would you give us the courage to reflect on our lives, to reflect on the ways that we failed, the ways that we haven't loved you or loved others as we should. God, would you help us to face the darkness in our lives, the secrets in our lives, knowing that first and foremost, we are your children. And you meet us not with judgment or condemnation, but with open arms in love and forgiveness, and you offer us new life. So God, would we take this this challenge, even this week, even tonight as we go home, would you help us to be self-conscious, but to bring it to you and face ourselves with courage, knowing that you hold us and love us. In Jesus' name, amen.